What motivates people to do what they do?
You were gassed at 15. You made it to 20. And the benefits to your body are, they really are through the roof. So
how do they inspire others and live their best life?
There is no brat that I eat that is going to destroy my health.
You're about to find out all of that and more with Andy Brooks and her guests in her podcast, Under the Covers with Andy Brooks. In each episode, you'll go beneath the surface with Andy and a special guest to learn more about their lives. Thanks for getting cozy with us.
Have you ever met somebody that just makes you feel so pumped, like inspires you, motivates you, makes you feel young again? That person for me is my personal trainer, Hans, at Pinnacle Health and Fitness. And that's why today I wanted to have Hans on my podcast, Under the Covers with Andy Brooks, because I wanted you to get inspired and feel good about yourself physically and mentally. And so welcome, Hans, from Pinnacle Health and Fitness. So excited to have you with me today.
For me, growing up, working out, you know, played sports. And then when I got out of college and now I'm working out on my own, I would always go to the gym and do like, I don't know, try to run on a treadmill for a 45-hour and maybe lift some weights. And, you know, day in, day out, I'd be like, okay, what do I do now? What do I work out? What do I lift? And so then when I started working out with you, it amazes me. Like, we work out twice a week.
Yep.
And then you give me like a lifting schedule the other days that we don't work out together. But it amazes me how I come in and you have like a routine ready for us to go. And it's always different. Like, where do you go to figure out what you're going to make that person do, why it's going to be, and why it's going to be good for them?
Oh my gosh, there's a lot there, Andy. That's a great question. You know, how do you become a personal trainer? I mean, so after school, I went and got certified from the American College of Sports Medicine. They kind of write, they're like the gold standard in our industry. They write a lot of the standards. And, you know, you've asked me those questions before, and sometimes I have an answer, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I think that's why I am a good personal trainer, because I kind of know it intuitively, but sometimes it's hard for me to describe. You know, my undergrad was PE in health, so I really learned the anatomy. I learned the physiology. But the big thing with PE is I learned the progressions. You know, how do you take somebody who's never done exercise before, which clearly you are not, but a lot of my clients are, and how do you take them through the appropriate progressions? Because the body does one thing I've learned is that the body does a fascinating job of adapting to the stress that you apply to it. And so if I put the appropriate amount of stress, not bad stress, but good stress on you, your body is going to break down momentarily, but then in a few days, in a few weeks, it's going to grow back stronger. And that's the part that I really enjoy. And so it's a matter of figuring out where are you at. And we talked about that, but then where do you want to go? How do we progress you? And once you figure that out, you start learning about the different systems. You've got the cardiovascular system, which I think is super important, but you and I, like you said, are talking more about the muscular system, and that really requires 3 days a week. And really it's a matter of, the hardest thing about my job is saying, guys, here's what you need to do, and you need to do it. So many people are like, oh, don't tell me what to do, or I don't want to do everything that the trainer says, and you know, trainers are always pushing to do more, and it's like, yes, but you can't expect to get better at piano lessons when you practice just on Monday night. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's the analogy that I use a lot. You can't expect to get better at business if you never, you know, if you always ignore certain aspects of the business. You do need to put in the time, and it needs to be structured. And that's where I see people all the time come in, and they just don't have a plan. They kind of know what they need to be doing, but they don't have a plan. And so if you have a plan, that's a great place to start.
And like, you're pushing us for a reason. You know,
sure.
You're not pushing us to be a jerk. You're pushing us to be a reason, because we're trying, obviously, to do something. That's why we're there working out. So
it does. And it's, I've been at Pinnacle for 4 years now, and I've really realized, one of the things I've realized is that a lot of people see me from afar, and eventually they'll come up and talk to me, and they'll tell different parts of their story or different things that they've observed. And I think a lot of people don't want to work with me because they see how hard I work people. But what they don't understand is that it's individual, and that either it's what this person wants or it's what this person needs. And they've really given me permission, or I've built up credibility with them to say, I'm going to push you to do something you don't want to do, because I know on the backside of it, that's where you're going to want to be. I mean?
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that you said some people will see me working someone else out and they don't want to have me work them out because maybe they're afraid or something. But that's a great point. Like someone said to me, I would love to go work out with you, but I just can't do what you're doing in those videos because I don't work out that much. And I'm like, you know, a trainer is going to, right? You're going to make sure someone's workout, it's not the same for everyone. Like if you just started working out, clearly you're not going to have them do what I'm doing, you know? You customize.
You totally customize. And I'll be honest with you, Andy, that's where group training is sometimes hard for me because like, let's say you and your twin sister, which you don't have a twin sister. You do have a sister.
I have a sister, yeah.
Who I've never met. If she came in, I could do fairly well with both of you, but it would get better and better as time went on, as I got to know the two of you. And I try to make it all about you or the other person. And it really is personal. And it sounds like a cliche, but that's the customization that I pride myself on, and that's where I've learned to tell people, I am not going to give you your goal. This is going to be you come up with your goal. I'll come up with my plan based on my expertise on where you've come from and where you want to go with it, and then it's up to you to execute. So it's your goal, my plan, and then your execution, and that's the teamwork that really gets you to where you want to be. My other clients get to where they want to be, and I'm hoping other people can just have enough confidence in me to say, Hans isn't going to make me run a 5K if that's not what I want to do. But if I have this, this, or this issue, or this, this, or this goal, he's going to help me get there. And that's where I'm trying to build a platform and an audience.
Can we talk about, can you explain? Because some people, this was, I've like heard of it in the past, but I actually now am doing it with you. So I think it'd be cool for other people to hear about it. The HIIT training. You don't have to spend 2 hours in gym anymore. And not everyone has time to spend that much time in the gym anyways. So can you explain? Because I love HIIT training, like the Tabata HIIT training. Can you explain that?
All right. So you threw out a couple of phrases. So for people who are listening to this, HIIT training is HIIT, high intensity interval training. Now, first off, the high intensity is probably higher than you're thinking. Not you personally, but the listener. It's higher than you think. It actually came from, Japanese. I think it's a Japanese speed skating team. They decided to say, what is the lowest threshold of intensity we can work at and still get the physiological benefits to make our speed skating team faster? I might be butchering that, and I apologize, but the point is they wanted to figure out the lowest dose of how hard can a person work. And they came up with this thing called, and you mentioned it, Andy, the Tabata protocol, which is 20 seconds of a sprint and 10 seconds rest. That's the protocol. And the idea is work really hard and then completely rest. And then work really hard and then rest again. And they've done this over the years, and they've realized that there's, and I keep saying physiological, but that, you know, our body is physiology, is chemistry, working together with the anatomy to make us healthy individuals so that our bodies are working at maximal performance. And they've just realized that, you know, the old days of, like you said earlier, let's get on a treadmill and let's just go for 40 minutes. Let's get on the bench press and let's just lift, some weights, and rather, well, let's work as hard as we can. Now, and this isn't for everybody, but it's something you love. And you're right. It's not for everybody, but it is for more people than it's worth trying in an interval at the appropriate progression.
Yeah.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah. And I feel like you don't even have to. We do sometimes running, but I feel like, we do the ropes for 20 seconds and then stop and, do the ropes again for 20 seconds and stop. So I think it's just so cool because you don't have to just go be bored on a treadmill anymore.
And you respond wonderfully to it because of your athletic background. So some of those things, you gravitate towards. But, for the average person, it's like, it's just trying to, maybe it's doing a Google search and saying, what is an example of a HIIT workout? What is HIIT? But again, like I said before, I'm not trying to prescribe exercise here to anybody listening, but it's a matter of saying, all right, I want to try something new. What is a HIIT workout? High intensity. Okay, so I'm used to just getting on a treadmill and going easy. What would it look like if I kind of ramped up that energy, that intensity a little bit, and then backed off? And try that 3 or 4 times. And then, let that sit for the day. And then come back in a couple of days and try to add to it. And then you get to the point, or you work with a trainer who says, I want you to do this, this, and this many seconds of, for example, rope swings. Something on the TRX, some push-ups or some pull-ups, kettlebell squats, things like that. There's a lot of different exercises that are, conducive to that type of a style. But like you said, the days of I got to get on the treadmill for 60 minutes or I'm just not doing it enough. There is some value there for sure, but Tabata, HIIT training, you can actually do, and some of our best ones have been like 20, our best one I think was about 20 minutes and you—
A total workout.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were gassed at 15, you made it to 20, and the benefits to your body are, they really are through the roof. So it's a fun internet search of the benefits of HIIT training. I'm not going to say it's for everybody,
right,
but one of the things I've been telling people lately is your body's able to do more than you give it credit for. It's really fun to say, here's where I started with, let's just call it interval training, and maybe I work up to HIIT training. It's very fun to see that progression. That's one of, by far, one of the best parts of my job.
Yeah, I love that stuff. And like, I feel like just last week, I don't know if it was Tuesday or Thursday, I walked in and I was just tired. I was just tired that day. I was, I don't know, just life, right?
I remember.
And I feel like by the end of my workout, I was like, thank God it's over. I made it. But there are lots of people who, you know, are never going to the gym because they're tired. They're intimidated. They don't know what to do. How do you ever have tired days, and how do you get through it? Because I don't think I've ever seen you tired, but how do you stay motivated to get through it and to get yourself to the gym and work out?
You know, personal trainers have I call it a responsibility to help other people get healthier and to pursue their best. I mean, I think the good trainers, that's why they get into it. I think that's why the good ones are really good. But we don't just have that natural, you know, I think we're inclined to have those kind of days, but it's kind of like, you know, the shoemaker who has, you know, the kids, what's that phrase? The shoemaker who his kids don't have good shoes or whatever. You know, sometimes when you're in the industry, it's really hard to get it in yourself. You know, it's, you know, the gym where we work out is a professional place for me. So to get my own workout in there, and actually I'm learning there's a bunch of people that don't work out at their own gym. They actually have a separate gym membership, which I've just started to think about. I don't want to do that, but I think it gets at this idea of, you know, some days you just don't have it in you and you need to get away to get your own time in. So let me get back to the question. Yes, I definitely have days where it's hard to get it up for a really good exercise session. And so for me, it's a matter of doing an audit. Like, where am I at in life? What do I want to do? I've made some goals for 2018. Specifically, I want to work on strength training and nutrition, which we can, you know, maybe get at and, you know, and later. But I have to ask myself, what am I doing on any given day to get myself better at that? You know, I think just saying, sometimes I go through a season where I say, I never want to go 2 days in a row without working out. So, you know, that puts you at exercising 4 days a week, which is good. But that's just kind of just, you know, muscling through. And that's not really sustainable for a lot of people. It's not realistic to say just work harder.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I've got goals for 2018. One of my goals is to do 2 triathlons by the end of the year. And I'm good at the run. I'm decent on the bike. And I'm terrible in the swim. Swim, bike, run. The swim is my worst. And I just think, if I wake up and I'm just not feeling it today, I have a decision to make. Do I want to go and get a good workout in at the pool and say that will contribute to me getting through this triathlon? Or do I want to just opt out, take the easy way, go back to work and do some of the other client work? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to just say, for me, it's about my goals. Like, I'm the kind of person who says, in, you know, in business, in relationships, in whatever you're at, if you don't have a goal, you're just going to kind of wander through life and do whatever. But since I have this goal of I'm going to do these triathlons, at this point I've signed up for them. Some people know about them. You can argue whether or not that's a good or a bad thing. My approach is I want to kind of live a lifestyle that's a little bit out there on social media and in public so people can ask about it, hold me accountable to it. And I just say, I've got these runs, these triathlons, these competitions at the end. What is it going to take to get to that finish line? On days when I don't really want to swim, I need to get in the pool. A bad pool workout for me at this point is better than no pool workout. That's what I've learned, is that just putting in a little bit of time,
just doing a little something,
adds up cumulatively. But that's an experienced comment that I just made right there. But for the person who, you know, it's probably harder for the person who does not exercise or exercises once or twice a week to say, I'm going to try to up my game to 3 or 4 days a week, which is where you need to be eventually. But
yeah, it's hard. It's hard. Like, I know for me, I work out because mentally it just, I have to get some sort of sweat in every day. Like, it just makes me feel really good mentally. But there are people who don't work out at all. And I know a couple people
And they've said this to me. They're like, how do you just pull up to the gym parking lot, turn off your car, and walk into the gym? I'm like, what do you mean? And they said, we literally sit in the car for a good half hour in the gym parking lot and have to pump ourselves up. And I said, really? And it's an everyday occurrence.
That's super interesting that you say that, because if I went back and got another I got a master's degree in kinesiology, and I often say if I went back to get another degree, it would be in exercise psychology. It is absolutely fascinating to see the connection between people's minds, their experiences, and their bodies. They may know what they need to do, but the mental hurdle is gigantic. So that doesn't that surprises me a little bit that you say that.
I couldn't believe it.
I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer to that. But you know, that's the beauty of this job. There is science, and I love the science of it. But then there is the art of it. Of what do I need to do to motivate each and every client? And I'm telling you, Andy, if I have 30 clients, they are all completely different.
Well, I'm sure.
You're one of the easier ones. But the difference for you is sometimes one of the things you and I are working on is how to back off. Like figuring out, I often talk about 7 days. Not that you would actually exercise 7 days, but you're working out maybe 4 or 5 of those days. And when you were dealing with one of your little injuries that was nagging, we made sure that we backed off that. And so there's an art to it too, to say, you know, how do we progress? But we're also looking at the big picture here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I mean, it shocked me. I was like, I just said to them, I always think the faster you get in the gym, the faster you're going to get out. Like, if you just sit in the gym parking lot for a half hour, think about what you could have been doing inside for a half hour.
But the other thing is that they're probably dreading whatever happens.
Totally.
They don't have guidance. They probably have apprehension and uncertainty. Like, is what I'm doing helping? And there's a good chance that it's not. I told you about progressive overload a little bit. You know, I need to progress you. If they take too big of a jump, they're going to beat themselves up and they're not going to come back for a few days. If they don't take a big enough step forward, if they don't really challenge themselves and put a good stress on their body, they're kind of just spinning their wheels. And then again, they're not getting the benefits that they want. So I'm not saying you need a personal trainer, but I do believe there's something missing from an education standpoint in the gyms. I think there's more we can be doing for everybody to just get at some of the basics. And I don't want to minimize what I do, but there's so many basic things that I do that I'm always surprised at what people do and don't know about physical fitness.
Okay, let's talk. So we talked about one of my favorite workouts, the HIIT. What are some of your favorite exercises that you either make people do or that you do that you absolutely love, you think like, whoa, this is going to give me results?
I love the Tabata, and I say that all the time. And again, Tabata is just a particular protocol. I like it because it's defined. It's 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off. You repeat those two sections 8 times. So 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off is a 4-minute round, and it's just like 2 exercises as fast as you can. I love that because it's defined. When that timer says go, you go as hard as you can, and then you get the rest. And it's kind of like this challenge, and it's very similar to what you do. So I love Tabata. I love kettlebell swings. I think kettlebell swings is one of the most underrated exercises in the gym. It provides the most benefits, but it's technical. It takes some skill. I love the battle ropes. I love kettlebell swing. I love step ups. I really like TRX. And you know what I get frustrated with, Andy? People that don't like burpees. Like, I know burpees are bad and they're hard, but they're just so badass. They're just so like, you look silly. You're jumping in the air. It's a little bit
military. They are miserable.
They're miserable.
But they're amazing.
And that's just it, is that you just feel amazing afterwards, you know? And so I have a hard time when people don't like that, because I'm like, wait, you know, I understand they're hard, but, you know, if you can do them and 90% of the gym can't or won't, you know, then in my opinion, you win. So
for me, those I had to like work my way up. One day I would do like 5. Just do 5 burpees. You know, and like the next time you do them, do 5 more.
Yeah.
Like, and because they are frustrating. I mean, it's hard to get, especially a tall person or,
heavy. Way to go.
Your body is hard to get off the ground.
It absolutely is.
And but you know, they're good,
Then we throw kettlebells in there. We throw TRX. Yeah. I mean, there's actually a lot of different ways to do burpees. So I like the burpee because I like kind of punching that workout in the face. You know, I definitely like that. I've been doing something with people that I get this question a lot, like, what are some of your favorite exercises? I really think the military gets it right. I've got this thing called the Faithful Four that I just love. It's push-ups, sit-ups, squats, and lunges. Now, you know, in a gym, you can do all those many different ways, but those are just so foundational. I find that it's a good building block. It's something where you can make it as easy or as hard as you want. You know, there's a running back from way back in the day named Herschel Walker. He's a lot older, but he was known to do like 500 push-ups and sit-ups a day. Oof. And this guy was just cut. He's an NFL running back. And so, you know, the military does these things all the time. And I just love the simplicity of it.
And I feel like those are good, too, because, like, let's say you travel a lot for work.
Right.
And you stay at hotels a lot. And maybe a hotel doesn't have a gym or doesn't have the greatest gym. You can do those anywhere. You can do burpees anywhere. You can do push-ups anywhere. You can do, you know, squats anywhere.
I got a funny story. I have a client who was with some family, and somehow they got talking about physical fitness, and we've been really working on her push-ups this year. And, like, I think her nieces challenged her to, like, this. They're like, oh, you know, and I'll leave her name out, but this, you can't do a push-up. And she goes and proceeds to crank out 12 push-ups, and, like, literally their jaws are on the floor. Like, wait, what? You know, so sometimes it's kind of like a little bar trick.
Heck, yeah.
But you know what? That's the pride of it, where trainers get a bad name as far as, you know, just, you know, the competitive side of it. But I do believe, you know, we're all trying to win at life. And I think if you're going to expect to win at life, you do need to be able to perform at some level. And not that it's my push-ups versus yours, but I mean, I think at the end of the day, everybody wants to have wealth. Like they want to have money, not to be rich, but they want to be secure in that. And they're inside their own bodies, and they want to be comfortable. They want to be able to move, and they want their health. I mean, that's what we always wish on people, right? You know, we always wish good health on people. That doesn't happen right. Just sitting around. That doesn't happen out of good luck because you have good genes. You know, it can help, but you have to put in the
It'll
work.
Catch up to you.
Yes, it will.
Okay, so we've talked obviously a lot about like working out and stuff, but one of the things that we've recently started talking about like together is nutrition. Nutrition is a big part. If you could give advice, live a balanced lifestyle, like right now, summertime, right?
Yep.
Concerts, cookouts. You want to have fun. You want to enjoy cold beer. You want to enjoy eating like food at a barbecue. But then you also want to, you know, work out and feel good. How do you live a balanced lifestyle? I want to know how you do it too.
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I'm the exercise guy, right? Like, I so want my job to be, you know, if I'm going to help somebody get healthy, I want exercise to be the thing because that's my bread and butter, right? I'm really good at that. But it's just not as big as nutrition. And, you know, we talked about this earlier. One of my goals for 2018 is just to do better at nutrition for myself personally, but also so that I can counsel my clients on it. Nutrition is super important. One of the things, progression is just so huge. And, I don't struggle with eating poorly. Could I eat better? Absolutely. But what I'm learning is that I need to slowly take a step better each and every week and then each and every month to just add something to my diet or, like I said again, audit my diet. What am I eating that I could probably do without? Again, give me a little grace here because personal trainers are notoriously bad at this stuff. Like, take this off your plate and add some carrots. You know, it's like that doesn't help anybody. I give myself the freedom to say there is no brat that I eat that is going to destroy my health. And in the same way, there is no workout that is going to give me this added health. So what am I saying? It's never the outliers that are the silver bullet or the problem. It's what happens in the middle. And so I try to be as balanced as I can. I try to audit myself and say, where could I be eating healthier? I'm really learning about processed foods. I definitely struggle with lunches. So I'm trying to eat better lunches. I do well at breakfast and dinners. But the other thing is as a fairly thinner guy, I've always been able to eat a ton of stuff and I just don't put on the weight like a lot of other people. Now, as I get older, that's changing. So I really try to give myself a little bit of grace and try to say, again, one of the other things I've been saying with people is I'm trying to play the long term here. I'm trying to get people to pursue their health for 2019, which we're recording this in 2018. You know, I'm trying to get people to see, to do their work with me, not for this year, but for next year. And that means with the way diet is in this country, I mean, we all overeat. We all are exposed to a ton of sugar and processed foods. And I'm not a nutrition geek like this, but there's improvements to be made. Making big changes is just, by law of averages, it's just not going to work. It's got to be small changes.
Yeah, like one thing that you've recently had me started doing is just my fitness plan, writing what I'm eating down, because I think that really helps you actually see what you're eating in a day. And then it'll show you, holy smokes, like you are really overeating, you know, like that has really helped me.
I talked about how, you know, I think we need to reeducate some of the people in the gym about what exercises would be beneficial to them. And in the same way, I think a lot of us could use a nutritional class or two also about what is a good carbohydrate, what's a bad carbohydrate, you know, how much protein should I have. This industry is just rampant with crazy thoughts from keto to South Beach. I mean, we've run the gamut on all this stuff. In my opinion, none of it works. It really is a balanced diet, which sounds like a cop-out, but my gosh, you guys, it really is about calories in, calories out. How do you know that if you don't keep track of it? You know, so many people have a hard time tracking their stuff. Thankfully, you've been able to do it pretty well. I've used this word before. I need to audit myself, too, on a, you know, weekly basis to say, where am I high in certain areas? You cannot make an adjustment if you don't measure. You can't manage what you don't measure. That's a phrase we, you know, try to use a lot.
I got to know, what is a normal day? Because I know you have kids, a wife, you're busy. Well, I always ask people this, like, what's a normal day look like for Hans?
I get up at about between 4 and 4:30.
Early riser.
Early riser, because my first client is usually at 5:30 or 6. I'm the kind of guy that cannot roll out of bed and just go. So I'm drinking coffee. I'm just kind of doing my, you know, morning routine for almost an hour before I leave for work. I usually have clients from about 6 a.m. till 2 p.m. with definitely some pockets in there where I have downtime. Sometimes I can get a workout in. Other times I have different administrative things that I have to get done. But for the most part, it's clients from 6 till 2. And the worst part about that for me is that I like morning workouts. Afternoons are hard. For one, I'm tapped out of energy. A lot of people are not, that's not unique to me. A lot of people at the end of their workday, for me, it's 2 p.m. For others, it's 4 or 5. It's really hard to think, I got to get up and, you know, get myself to the gym afterwards. But, you know, that's where I'm really glad I have certain pockets where I can get it in middle of the workday. And then I try to get home to be with the kids and have – that's the best part about it is that I do get a lot of daylight in the middle afternoon if I'm not getting other office things done. I do have a lot of daylight to get home, and especially in summer now, to be with the kids, be outside, be as active as I can, never say no to my kids when they want to play sports, you know, just always be willing to do those kind of things. And yeah, that's my kind of my work day.
Okay, so obviously we know that you work out because you're a trainer, but how do you live your best life?
How do you live your best life? You know, I love this word, Andy, and it's audit. I've always been a very reflective guy. Journaling is not for everybody, but again, I equate it to business or relationships or whatever organization you're a part of. If you're not reflecting on what's going well and what's not going well in light of where you want to go, what are your goals, I just don't think you're really setting yourself up. You're not being really a good steward of your efforts. And so I've always been a very reflective guy. I always want to audit where I'm at. I want to do strength training. I want to do nutrition. And I want to do triathlons in this particular calendar year, 2018. So I'm constantly like in the clouds, in the 30,000-foot view of saying, where am I at with this stuff? Are these still the three things that I want to do? Yes, in fact, they are. So now it's down into the ground level. Like, what am I doing? Like, how do I look back at my last 7 days and say, yep, that's going to contribute to me getting better at nutrition, getting stronger in the gym, finishing a triathlon well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, frankly, to be honest with you, I could do a triathlon tomorrow and I'm going to be fine. Would I be okay with that effort? No, I wouldn't. My swim would struggle. That's why I'll be in the pool tomorrow at 2 p.m. because my swim is just not good enough. And so I think for me, the best life is knowing where you want to go, begin with the end in mind, and then reverse engineering it and being very disciplined, maybe bringing a team of people around me to say, keep me accountable to these kind of things, ask me how these things are going, or maybe it's hiring a coach. I've really considered hiring a coach because the swim part is so hard for me.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, and not everybody has resources to do that, but saying, I need a pro. I need an expert in my corner. Maybe it's weekly, or maybe it's just an online consultation to say, help me see what I can't see myself.
One thing I've definitely learned from you, if you don't challenge yourself, you're not going to change anything, right? Like there are things that we have done that I walked out of there. I remember one of the ladies at the front desk said at Pinnacle, she said, are you okay? And she said, you were exhausted yesterday when you left here. And that was a challenge. I mean, that was awesome. I challenged myself and pushed myself, and I've seen change. So I think that that's something that you've always taught me. So if you need a little change in your life, a challenge, you should hit up Hans.
Love it.
I appreciate it. Yeah. And what also is so cool is like we work out outside. Like I don't dread working out because like you make it fun. So like if you are looking for something fun, I mean, Hans is the person to go to.
Can I add something to that?
Please.
So that's interesting you say that, and we haven't talked about this yet. this past weekend, I was in Door County with my family, and they wanted to sit at the beach for an afternoon, and I was in Peninsula State Park, and so I rented a bike. And I biked this mountain bike all throughout Peninsula State Park. The views were gorgeous. It wasn't a great workout, but just to have the ability to bike, to not be winded, and if I wanted to, I really could have opened it up and got a good workout. Yeah, I mean, being outside in Wisconsin, I don't know where people are listening to this show, but we're here based in Wisconsin. It's gorgeous out. I mean, get over the mosquitoes, whatever it's, you know, get over those kind of things and realize that being outside is just second to none. The sun is good for you. The air is better. Yeah. It clears things up. And that's, you know, that's the other thing. When you work out, it just, it clears the mind. And I know it's cliche, but I'm telling you, when you experience that, it's a wonderful thing.
It is. That's, I think, why, I know that's why I work out. Because it's just, I feel really just happy after. You just feel good. Thank you for sharing, like, your positivity and, like, just your knowledge about fitness and nutrition, because it has helped me. And I think there are some people who are afraid to ask for help.
Yep.
Or, you know, reach out to a trainer, maybe out of intimidation or no experience or not wanting to work out or just being scared, right? And so I think that this will really help people if they're looking to really change. This will help people out.
It's been fun to work with you, and thanks for having me on the podcast.
Thanks for listening, and make sure you go Under the Covers with Andy Brooks next week.
If you enjoyed this episode of Under the Covers with Andy Brooks, please be sure to subscribe now if you haven't already, so you'll get every episode. And don't forget, please share it with friends you think might like it too. You can subscribe and listen wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and on our Today's Q106 mobile app. In the next episode, we're going to go under the covers with a country singer who's from a small town in Southern Illinois made up of 580 people. Not only do you know him from his awesome music, but his charm and his amazing dance moves too.
My mom would help me choreograph the dances that we did.
You're going to hear about the life of Drew Baldridge.
The feeling of sitting on that couch and just being like, oh my gosh, what did I just do?
That's the next episode of Under the Covers with Andy Brooks next week.